Welcome to the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange Open Mic Session. Today's topic is Troubleshooting WPX, BPE, and EDI in WebSphere Partner Gateway. My name is Joseph Lam, and this session will give you the opportunity to speak to our panel of experts on a variety of subjects related to today's topic. Moving on to slide number 2. In today's Open Mic session, we will start off by introducing to you our panel of experts for the day. We will then move on to give you a brief introduction to troubleshooting WTX, BPE, and EDI in WebSphere Partner Gateway. Next, our panel of experts will answer questions that were pre-submitted to us via email. Then, we will open the lines for a live question and answer period. Lastly, the session will end with a summary of the Open Mic session given by our panel of experts. Going on to slide number 3. At this time, I would like to introduce to you our panel of experts for today's call. Our panel consists of Atu Gohead, WebSphere Partner Gateway Level 3 Support Team Lead.
Hello everyone, this is Atu here. I'm working with IBM as part of the WebSphere Partner Gateway Level 3 Support Team. Prior to this, I have been involved in various areas of Java, J2E, and grid computing. Thanks, Joseph.
Next, we have Silatha Sankarayan, WebSphere Partner Gateway Level 3 Support.
Hello, everybody. I am Silatha Sankarayan. I have been with WebSphere Partner Gateway Level 3 Support Team for the last 2 years. Thank you, Joseph.
Then we have IG Bujol, WebSphere Partner Gateway Level 2 Support.
Hi, everyone. This is Ajit Bujol. I actually almost hate to say this next thing because it's an indication of my age. I've been with IBM for more than 20 years. And during all this time, I have held position in product quality area, either through product testing or customer service. I enjoy my job of improving the quality of IBM products. I joined the WPG Level 2 team back in November of 2006. Before that, I have worked with AIX and LAN Server Technical Support, and also was a tester for AIX and IBM Director and Storage Area Network. I'm certified as an AIX System Administrator, Microsoft Professional MCP Plus Internet, and Red Hat Technician. Thank you.
Next, we have Michael Glenn, WebSphere Partner Gateway Level 2 Support Technical Lead.
Hello, everyone. My name is Michael Glenn. I've been with IBM for 10 years. For the past 7 years, I've been doing Level 2 support for the WebSphere Data Interchange product. In 2005, I also joined the WPG team when the product was first introduced. Since that time, I've been doing Level 2 support for both products. Thank you very much, Joseph.
And finally, we have Nayan Prasad, WebSphere Partner Gateway Architect Development.
Hello, everyone. My name is Nayan Prasad. I work for the WebSphere Partner Gateway Development team. I've been with IBM for almost 10 years now. Thanks, Joseph.
Thank you. Now, before we get to the question and answer session, IG, one of our panelists for today, would like to give you a technical overview of the topic. I will now move on to slide number 4 and pass the presentation over to IG.
Good day, everyone. Thank you for coming to the first open mic for WPG. This almost feels like a wedding day. During this open mic, we would like to focus our discussion on troubleshooting WTX, BPE, and EDI. Slide number 5. We will start with WTX, WebSphere Transformation Extender. It addresses complex integration challenges by providing industry transformation solutions, which are easy to build with almost no coding effort. WPG now integrates this capability into its runtime, enabling customers to exploit this transformation capability. What document is being processed in WPG and not outside of the WPG runtime? Customers can use WPG provided viewers to view documents being passed to WTX, the transformed result being routed to the backend through WPG gateway. WPG provides a variable workflow handlers that integrates synchronously to WTX to transformation. Slide number 6, BPE, Business Processing Engine. BPE is a core component in WPG, which handles processing of business documents. In today's session, we will discuss questions related to understanding various modules of BPE component and their usage. The primary focus will be on troubleshooting tips for runtime problems in this component. BPE component is responsible for the execution of various business workflow steps. Sticking to different protocol specifications and usage of security tests. Please note, effective troubleshooting of BPE will also require troubleshooting of SIB, messaging engine, database components, and BPE thread configurations. Slide number 7. We will discuss EDI now. Oftentimes, integration of business processes across the enterprise brings along the challenge of converting non-standard data formats to standard data formats so that the integration can be seamless. WPG provides a unique advantage to customers by providing this industry transformation capabilities along with document packaging and routing capabilities all in one box. Customers can now manage both transformation and routing through a single administration console. They can onboard a partner set up connections, define transformation rules, and enable routing and monitor the same in just one single window. In this open mic session, we will discuss a few troubleshooting aspects related to native EDI support, transformation in WPG. Thanks. This concludes the introduction of our open mic. Please move to slide number 8.
Thank you, Aichi. We are on slide number 8. We will now move on to our first open mic question. Why do I need re-enveloping while using WTX as the transformation engine? To answer this question, let's take a scenario of EDI X12 document being received in WPG and getting transformed into an XML document in WTX. The EDI document will be received by a WPG receiver and will go through two possible connections. Option one is a connection with a variable workflow action called EDI interchange validate and WTX transform. In this option, the EDI interchange is validated as is and passed on to WTX for transformation. The EDI envelope is intact and needs no re-enveloping. In the second option, which has two channels, the channel one being a EDI de-envelope action, which will de-envelope the EDI interchange and introduce EDI transactions into the workflow. Now the EDI transactions will go to a second channel, which will be having a variable workflow action called EDI source validate, EDI re-envelope, and WTX transform. The transaction is first validated and then the envelope is put back on the EDI transaction before it is sent to the WTX for transformation. This is just because sometimes the WTX map expects the EDI transactions to always carry the service segments around it. The re-enveloper will put back the original service segments from the received envelope back onto the EDI transactions. This is to keep the service segments information intact as they may be used in the transformation or the transformed output. The regular enveloper will introduce new service segments which will have different control numbers as opposed to the ones that were received in the original EDI document. We will now move on to the next question. I will now hand over the presentation to Atul.
Thank you, Narayan. This is Atul here and I will be taking through questions 2 and 3. For our question on 2, which has 3 sub-questions on what is SI bus, why does WPG need it, and how do I monitor it? Let us first understand the SI bus. A service integration bus is a group of one or more application servers in a WebSphere application server cell that cooperate to provide asynchronous messaging services. The application servers in a bus are known as bus members. A service integration bus provides the following capabilities. Any application can exchange messages with any other application by using a destination to which one application sends and from which the other application receives the messages. A message producing application that is called as a producer can produce messages for a destination regardless of which messaging engine the producer uses to connect to the bus. A message consuming application that is called as a consumer can consume messages from a destination whenever that destination is available, regardless of which messaging engine the consumer uses to connect to the bus. There is also a server component that provides the core messaging function of a service integration bus, which is called as a messaging engine. The messaging engine manages bus resources and allows applications to communicate with the bus. Each messaging engine is associated with a server that has been added as a member of a bus. The messaging engine also has a unique ID that provides an identity for the messaging engine. If the messaging engine is deleted and recreated, it would get a different unique identifier and would not be recognized by the SI bus as the same engine, even though the messaging engine might have the same name. Each messaging engine has its own data store to preserve the operating information and to persist these objects that messaging engines need for recovery in the event of any failures. Moving on, we would now see why WPG need an SI bus. To achieve the entire B2B document processing, the internal WPG components such as console, receiver, BPE, delivery manager and event engine communicate with each other based on messaging. Each of these components behave as message producers and consumers. The messaging destinations used by these components, which are often configured as the main inbound queue, the delivery manager queue and alike, are hosted on an SI bus. Each of the WPG servers, such as the console, receiver, document manager, are members of a common SI bus. In case of simple distributed and full distributed WPG installation topology, the messaging engine data store is hosted in mass database instance. In case of a simple mode WPG installation, the messaging engine data store is a file system based persistent store. Now that we understand the usage of SI bus within WPG, we come on to the next sub question of how do we monitor it. The monitoring of SI bus is essentially to monitor the messaging queue destinations. The messaging queue destinations can be monitored by accessing the messaging engine runtime data from WAS admin console. The value of current queue depth property and the value of the threshold property are of key importance as the current queue depth displays the number of messages that are present on the queue, and the threshold value determines the maximum number of messages that can be held onto the queue destination at given point of time. The monitoring activity needs to be performed separately for each of the WPG defined queue destinations, such as the main inbound queue, the delivery manager queue, and the like. I will now move on to the next question, question number 3 on slide 10. The question what we want to discuss here is, if the document state shows in process forever, what do I need to check? Sometimes the WPG document viewer search results would yield into the document state shown as in process for an extended amount of time or seemingly to be forever. On observance of this symptom, a few things, as we will discuss now, would need to be checked so as to determine the area and the cause of the problem. The areas that can be looked into for troubleshooting are: was the sequence of starting WPG servers followed in the order of the WPG mass server first and then the other WPG servers? Are the WPG servers messaging engine available and in state running? In case the messaging engines are not running, then it's advisable to attempt a restart of the WPG mass server. Is the connectivity to the mass database instance available and working fine? Are there any errors reported in the WPG mass server logs? Are there any errors in processing of document as reported in the WPG server logs? Often, if we check the event viewer and see if there are numerous error events logged with process transaction rollback messages, these events may get reported on certain boundary conditions. These boundary conditions may occur when the WPG application database is momentarily not available or is restarted during the WPG document processing. Based on these areas of analysis, we would thereon determine the exact issue due to which the documents would have been seen as in process. We would now move on to the next question and will now hand it over to my colleague Srilata. Over to you, Srilata.
Thank you, Atul. I'm Srilata and I will be answering the pre-submit questions 4, 5, 6 and 7. Pre-submit question 4 on slide 11. How do I get notified when EDI's functional acknowledgements are overdue? Functional acknowledgements in EDI give a transaction level or message level confirmation back to the originator or sender of the EDI message. Functional acknowledgements provide information as to if the transaction was accepted or rejected due to errors by the receiver. In case of rejected transactions, the functional acknowledgements provide information on the segment or element of the transaction that is an error. Sender of an EDI document can specify in the outbound EDI channel that a functional acknowledgement is requested for the document that is delivered using this outbound channel. He can also specify by when he would want the functional acknowledgement to arrive after the EDI document has been sent. EDI functional acknowledgement state engine is available in WebSphere Partner Gateway version 6.2. This state engine can track if the functional acknowledgement has indeed arrived, and if the functional acknowledgements have not arrived, then for what transactions or messages they are overdue. The functional acknowledgement state engine can be started by going to the WebSphere Partner Gateway Community Console and navigating to System Administration, under that Feature Administration, under that EDI Properties. To turn on the EDI functional acknowledgement state engine, we need to provide a non-negative value greater than zero for the BCG EDI FH state thread count attribute. The default value for this attribute is zero. BCG EDI FH state run interval is used to set the time interval between each scan of the EDI functional acknowledgement state engine thread. EDI FH state engine instance ID attribute is for internal use of WPG and it should not be modified by users. When a functional acknowledgement is overdue, WSTUA Partner Gateway publishes a warning event with the event code BCG EDI FA0003. The event description has the sending partner and receiving partner information along with the control numbers. Email alerts can be configured so that the administrator is notified when the functional acknowledgement gets overdue. For a given transaction, the event or the alert would be generated only once. Moving on to slide 12, pre-submit question 5. End of record reach without record delimiter detected. How to fix this error? This is a common problem that is reported when customers attempt transformation of record-oriented data in WSTUA Partner Gateway. This typically happens when the input is a record-oriented data with record delimiter as carriage return or line field. The record-oriented data format defines the position of the record delimiters and field length for every record in the input document. Now, when the input document has a record that does not have the record delimiter in the position specified by the data format definition, then we see that the transformation fails in WSTUA Partner Gateway with the above said error. Let us take an example of record-oriented data for purchase order. One of the records in the purchase order sample has four fields, which are record ID, SKU number, name, and quantity. Consider that the data format definition for all the four fields are that these fields are all alphanumeric and the length of each of these are 2, 8, 64, and 8 respectively. This means that at the 83rd position of this record, the document parser in WSTUA Partner Gateway would expect the record delimiter, which is the carriage return or the line field. Now, if the input document has a record which has the record delimiter at the 100th position instead of the 83rd position, then we would see the error event BCG EDI UP0038, missing record delimiter, getting logged. To correct this, users should check the input data for the record length and make sure that the fields in the record match their definition in the data format defined. Moving to slide 13, pre-submit question 6. What is input ren command? Why and when do we need this command in FTP scripting sender script? When large files have to be transferred over FTP protocol, it is seen that there is a possibility of concurrent read and write. For example, if an FTP server is hosted by the external partner to receive AST documents, and while WSTUA Partner Gateway tries to deliver a large AST document to this partner, it may so happen that the receiver application of the trading partner may concurrently access this partially delivered file. One way of preventing this from happening is that the FTP server makes sure that the in-use files are locked. Locking of files sometimes becomes a subject to operating system behavior. WSTUA Partner Gateway FTP scripting client has this unique command called the input REN that allows users to select a type of file and deliver it to the destination FTP server with a certain temporary rename option. And once the transfer is completed, then rename it to a different name. For example, we will illustrate how to build the parameters for this command. Consider that the user wants to deliver all files from the gateway folder to FTP server destination. That would mean an input REN space star, where wildcard star indicates all files from gateway folder. Now, if the files need to be temporarily renamed to have .temp extension, this needs to be specified as the second parameter for the command, which would now read as input REN space star space star dot temp. Now, we need to specify the final name the files would assume after the transfer is complete. This needs to be specified as the third and last parameter for the command, which would now read as input REN space star space star dot temp space star dot ready. This command is a FTP scripting gateway command, and it is to be used only in a script that we upload during the FTP scripting gateway configuration. Moving to slide 14, pre-submit question 7. What is the translation table in DIS client? How does it affect EDI processing? DIS is the data interchange software that is used to build artifacts required for leveraging transformation capabilities in WebSphere Partner Gateway. Translation table is one such artifact. Translation tables are used to convert standard values to non-standard values, or also from non-standard values to standard values. They are called forward translation tables when they convert from standard to non-standard values, and are called reverse translation tables when they convert from non-standard to standard values. In EDI processing, during de-enveloping, we use the forward translation table, EDI to JIT. And during enveloping, we use the reverse translation table, JIT to EDI. EDI to JIT, for example, converts the version information in the GS08 element of the GS segment in the input EDI X12 document to a matching document flow definition value in WebSphere Partner Gateway. And the JIT to EDI used during onlooking converts the document flow definition value to a standard version representation that can be inserted as the GS08 element. Translation tables can be used in transformation maps too. One of the common errors reported during de-enveloping is the PCG EDI UT0041 translation table lookup fails error. This is because the de-enveloper fails to find a mapping representation of the version information provided in the EDI group or interchange in the translation table EDI to JIT. Users can correct this error by editing the translation table EDI to JIT using the DIS client, for which they would need to connect to the WPG repository using DIS client. Click on the mapping function area here, go to the translation table tab, select the EDI to JIT translation table, edit it, and then add the required value and save. Moving on to the next slide, I will now hand over the presentation to my colleague, Mikey Glenn. Thank you.
Thank you, Srilatha. My name is Michael Glenn, and I'll be handling questions 8 and 9 of the pre-submit questions. Question 8, how do I bypass the duplicate interchange detected error? This particular error can be changed for either a single connection or for multiple connections. to change the allowed documents for duplicate ID for a single connection, which we'll do is from the console, we'll go to Account Admin Connections. We will then click on Attributes on the source side for None EDIX12 ISA. We will then change allowed documents for duplicate document IDs from No to Yes by clicking on the folder icon beside Protocol EDIX12 and selecting Yes from the drop-down list box under the Update column. You will then scroll down and click the Save button. Once that is completed, okay, you will click on Return on the top right. You will now select attributes on the target partner for NA EDIX12 ISA. You will then change allowed documents for duplicate document IDs from No to Yes by clicking on the folder icon beside the protocol EDIX12 and selecting Yes from the drop-down list box under the Update column. You will then scroll down and click Save. And since this is an open mic scenario, we would like to reiterate, okay, that we need for users to do the replay if they have any questions regarding this question so they can get the correct answers. This is no screenshots in the PDF file. Now, if we want to make this change globally for all trading partners, and we need to follow these steps. We'll go to Hub Admin, Document Definition. You'll click on Package None, and then you'll click on the Attributes icon beside the protocol EDIX12. You'll scroll down to the Document Definition Context Attributes section and click on the EDI tab. There you will change allowed documents for duplicate document IDs from No to Yes, and then you'll click on the Save button. If you need to repeat the above steps for any packages such as NA or AS, if necessary. If we go to slide 16, please. Question 9, how do I change the default segment delimiter for EDI messages? Again, please follow the replay when to get answers to this question. If you want to change the default delimiters for a single connection, then follow these steps. Go to Account Admin, Partner Connections, click on the attributes for protocol standard such as X12V4R1 on the target side. Change the delimiter by clicking on the blue folder beside the protocol. Enter in the delimiter in the field under the Update column. Scroll down and click the Save button. Now, if you want to change the default delimiters for multiple connections, then follow these instructions. Click on Hub Admin, Document Definition. Click on the target package, such as Package NA. Click on the blue arrow icon next to protocol standard name such as protocol X12V4R1. Scroll down to the document definition context attributes section and click on the delimiter tab. Update the delimiter value by placing the desired delimiter in the update field such as an exclamation point. And then click on the Save button. That finishes the question. If we could go to slide 17, please. Now I'll turn it back over to Joseph.
Thank you to our panel of experts for answering the pre-submitted questions. At this point, Julie, we would like to open the lines for a live question and answer period.
Our first question comes from Kevin Sloan. Your line is open.
Hi. Do we need to use the DIS client tooling in case we want to do the EDI process using WTX and WTX Design Studio?
Hi, this is Narayan. Yes, basically, if you want
WTX is a product which does, you know, primarily just transformation. In case you need to do EDI handling in WTX, you need another product called Trading Manager, which basically does most of the EDI processing, like de-enveloping, validation, and so on. So if you choose to do all these EDI functions in WPG, to do that, you need to have something called the standard control string, which gets generated when a transformation map gets compiled in the DIS client. So in the case where you want to do the de-enveloping, validation, and functional acknowledgement generation in WPG and do transformation in WTX, you will have to develop a EDI to EDI map in DIS client, compile it, upload it into WPG, and then you will also have the WTX map uploaded into WPG. So you would use a combination of both DIS and WTX tooling to achieve EDI functions using WTX.
Thanks.
Our next question comes from Timothy Allen. Your line is open.
Hello. It's a very simple question. I'd like to ask, if I'm using WebSphere Partner Gateway and I can do transformations of messages in WebSphere Partner Gateway, what circumstances would come around where I would ever want to use WTX?
Hey, this is Narayan. WPG provides a native transformation capability which supports three different document formats, which is EDI, wherein we support EDI X12, EDI FACT, and UCS. We support XML-based documents and also something called the ROD, which is the record-oriented data. These are primarily done using the DIS client. The transformation is developed using the DIS client. The DIS client is something very similar to what the WDI client is, and it carries forward the restrictions that WDI client uses in terms of, you know, document definitions. The WTX is a more advanced transformation engine that has certain additional capabilities than the DIS tooling. To take an example, probably, you know, it supports a wide variety of record-oriented data formats than what is supported natively out of WPG. So in case you need to use any of these enhanced transformation capabilities, then we would probably recommend customers use WTX as a transformation engine. But in case the transformation is something that can be handled natively within WPG, you can choose to use the native transformation capabilities that is available inside of WPG. Did I answer your question?
Yeah, I think so. I just wonder, though, when you say more, if you want to use more advanced capabilities, why would a customer want to use the more advanced capabilities? That's a bit I'm not quite clear on. What circumstances would they say, look, WPG isn't doing this transformation? Is it because of the kind of messages they've got are not one of the native message formats?
Yeah, something like that. Actually, for example, if I take the record-oriented data, one restriction in the native format is, you know, for all record-oriented data, we expect, you know, a header element present, which basically needs to say that this is the record identifier. So if customers don't want to use, you know, that kind of a restriction, probably they can choose WTX as a transformation. And also, you know, natively in WPG, you can do a one-to-many transaction, transformation. But WTX, you can basically do a one-to-many or a many-to-one or a many-to-many transformation. So those are the kind of capabilities that WTX offers. And in case the customers wants to use that, they could go ahead and use WTX.
Okay. If someone does use WTX, I guess they install that on their server, the product, WTX. Does that take over all the transformation from WPG, or can you combine WTX and WPG, the transformations?
I mean, WTX is an external product. Our customers have to... It is not bundled with the WPG software, so it's a separate product that customers will buy and install. And it is a runtime choice that they can make to call out WTX for transformation or do natively inside of WDI. So for example, you know, they can handle probably all EDI transformations within WPG using the native native functions. And for specific document formats, call out WTX and get transformed there.
Okay.
So it can be a mix of both. It doesn't have to be purely WTX.
Okay. Okay, thank you.
Thanks.
We have no further questions.
At this time, I would like to move on to slide number 19 and pass the presentation to Atul for a summary of today's session.
Thank you, Joseph, and everyone, to make this an interesting knowledge sharing session today, covering the troubleshooting aspects of important WPG areas. To summarize, in today's session, we had a brief understanding on the need to perform re-enveloping during processing of EDI transactions using WPG and WTX integration. We also understood the concepts of service integration bus, the details of messaging engine monitoring, and their applicability usage within WPG. We touched upon various areas of EDI, including how to get notified when functional acknowledgements are overdue, and how to use the translation table in DIS client and its importance to EDI processing. We also saw how to make use of the input rend command when using FTP scripting sender and to overcome the duplicate interchange detected error. We also saw how to change the default segment delimiter for the transaction processing. This brings us towards the end of this question answer session. This entire session would be available for replay so as to be reviewed at your pace for the references to various WPG console screens. Before I hand it over to our moderator, Joseph, on behalf of all the panelists today, would like you to thank for the participation in this session. Over to you, Joseph.
Thank you, Atul, for a great summary. At this time, we will conclude the open mic session.